Many years ago, Hertfordshire County Council produced rules for anybody who wanted to enter into one of the local libraries. They felt that these rules were important so that you didn't come in to the library just willy-nilly doing whatever you wanted. And they set these rules down. And for those of you who frequent libraries, I'm sure you are glad you do not live in the Hertfordshire County Council area. The rules were these. Any library users and future must not fall asleep on the tables, eat their lunches whilst reading papers, smoke in the building, leave their business cards behind, make themselves a nuisance, kick or damage the furniture, bring dogs with them into the library, tell lies to the librarian, you can't be doing that, or enter when they are in an inebriated condition. And two of the hardest ones, I think, for any of us to follow, where you must not enter into the library if you have smallpox, or indeed, if your face is offensively dirty. Folks, these were the rules set down in those days for folk coming into the libraries in Hertfordshire. It must have been a hard place to live, Hertfordshire, if they had to set down these rules. But today we think not of an old covenant of rules and regulations. Today we don't think of a list of things that we must do to live. Today we proclaim ourselves to be a new covenant people. Today we are men and women of Christ, not of Moses and Sinai, as we heard last week, not of rules and regulations, but grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Today we are part of this glorious promise in Jeremiah 31 that the Lord was going to bring a new covenant. A new covenant that was going to be fulfilled by Christ's finished work at Calvary, a covenant written in his blood. Now, why did there need to be that new covenant? Well, friends, it is, as we have already heard in Hebrews chapter 7, the old covenant of works was not able to save. Adam was a member of the human race, the first man, who was perfectly willing and able to keep that covenant. But Adam fell. Adam sinned, and since that fall, none of us, no human being ever who has lived aside from Christ, who was God and man without sin, has been able to keep this covenant of works fully. If we try to keep the law, we fail. If we try to save ourselves by the works of our hands, we fail. And that failure leads not to life, but to death. That failure leads us not to Zion, but to hell and condemnation and an eternity spent away from the Lord. And yet, for many Jews and many of the priesthood and many of the men and women of Sinai, they took this covenant, the tablets of stone that were given down to them, and they tried to keep it. They tried their best to make sure that they kept every I and every T and every dot of the commandments. And indeed, the Pharisees had made 613 laws, which if you kept every one of them, then you had kept the law. There were 365 negative laws, things that you should not do, and 248 positive laws, things that you could do. But friends, I rejoice today that we are not Pharisees. I am thankful to God today that we are not an old covenant of people still trying to keep the works of the law. I am thankful for that. Who of us could keep 613 laws? Who of you could remember 613 laws? It would be a life where you are constantly walking on a tightrope, wondering if you have done enough, wondering if you have kept the law, wondering if you had forgotten anything. But friends, today we rejoice. Those laws have gone. The Pharisees are no more in the Christian church. We are men and women of faith, of the new covenant given in the blood of Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, rejoice today because you are not off Moses, you're off Abraham. See, the covenant of works was given to Adam and it was republished at Sinai and it was never given to the people of Israel in order for them to try and save themselves. It was given to them to show them their sin and drive them to Jesus. But they didn't do that. They entered into this world of Pharisaical legalism where they were trying to keep the law and forgetting the God who had given them the law. Not to justify them, but to drive them to the one who could save them. We are not there anymore. We are of Abraham, the heir of promise, the one who was told, I am going to give you descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. We are of Abraham. And through faith in Christ, we are children of the promise, as we heard just last Sunday. And friends, I know a lot of these things that we're telling you might seem a bit obscure. They might seem a bit odd. You know, how does this relate to me in my life going forward? But I do promise you it is of great significance that we understand these things. You see, many of us at times are tempted by the rules and regulations. They are so tangible. They make sense to us. There are 10 commandments, for example, and we like to believe, well, if I can keep those, then I'm going to be okay. 10 commandments that I can memorize and I can do and I can be part of this and I can have a self-centered assurance that I am on the right path. For humans like us, that seems so attractive. But friends, we are not there anymore. We are not under the covenant of works, which, as Paul says in Hebrews, is obsolete. The law was given under the Levitical priesthood. It could not bring perfection. It could not get the job done. It should drive us not to works, but to grace and to Christ. That is where we are. And so that is why we celebrate and rejoice in the new covenant. And the new covenant, says Scott Clark, is not essentially new, but the new covenant is a new administration of the covenant that God made with Abraham. 2 weeks ago, I reminded you what a covenant was. Palmer Robertson says it was a bond in blood, sovereignly administered. And it was this bond in blood made with Father Abraham that we look to today, where the Lord passes through the carcasses of the animals and he says, let this happen to me if I break this covenant. But Abraham did not see the fullness of the covenant. Abraham received it by faith, but not by sight. Abraham was looking forward to a day that the covenant promises that God had made would be fulfilled. And this morning, my brothers and sisters, we are a richly blessed people. Sometimes I know you don't think that when a sermon starts, when you see my handsome bearded face up here to shout at you. But we are a richly blessed people. Because today, as I stand before you to preach, and as you sit here listening to me, my brothers and sisters, we have received by faith what Abraham looked forward to, the finished work of Calvary. Christ Jesus dying for sin and being raised from the dead for our justification. Abraham longed for those days, says Jesus, and he saw them. But when the covenant was given, Abraham believed and Abraham trusted, Abraham hoped that one day this will come. Today, that day has come. We are thousands of years on from that day, but we are still that new covenant people, a new administration of the promises made to Father Abraham. And it is this that Jeremiah speaks of in Jeremiah that we've read this passage this morning, the new covenant in Jeremiah 31. The Lord says there in verse 31, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It isn't, says the Lord in verse 32, like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. It's not like Sinai, says the Lord. It's not a republication of the law that is meant to drive them to Christ. This new covenant is not going to be like that one. This covenant is going to be centered on that child who I promised in Genesis, that child who was coming, who would lay down his life, whose heel would be bruised. This covenant, this new covenant, will not be like that one. It will be a better covenant. A covenant that men and women and children can come to and trust in the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And Jeremiah's chapter here, this passage, shows us the beauty of that covenant. And it's no wonder that in Hebrews Paul says that Jesus is a guarantor of a better covenant. Because we are not at the bottom of Sinai, trying desperately to keep what it says on tablets of stone. We are on Zion, looking in faith to the Lamb of God who has done the work. The Lord says they failed to keep that old covenant. But this new one, this new administration of the covenant that I made with Abraham, this is a better one. In verse 33, the Lord says, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And my friends, there are those beautiful covenantal words that we look to quite often as Presbyterians. I will be their God, and they will be my people. This is at the heart of God's covenant promise. This is at the heart of everything we believe, that we look forward to a day when our sins are forgiven and we walk with God and dwell with God and we are with God forevermore. I will be your God, says the Lord in his covenant promise, and you will be my people. You will be known by the Lord God Almighty, known by name, and you will never leave his presence again. Sin will not be held against you. Your sins will be forgiven. It is not going to be the Lord counting up how many good things that you have done, but instead of looking onto you and your filthy rags of self-righteousness, the Lord looks onto Jesus, the one who has kept the law fully on our behalf. And my friends, this is at the heart of this covenant. And if we get it wrong, well, we tend to look inwards. If we don't get this right, we tend to look in the mirror and think it's all up to you, big fella, big girl. You don't call yourself that ever, I hope. But it's not about us. Thanks be to God, it's not about us. This week, when you go to the other churches in this town and you hear the Easter story, you will notice that your name is nowhere to be found. You will notice that in the passages that we read, your name and your works are not there. It is not a story about you doing your best. It is not a story about you keeping the covenant of works. It is not a story about you crossing your fingers. It is a story of Christ. It is a story of the God-man, the second Adam, who comes and keeps the law fully. Christ keeps the covenant of works. And by his active and passive obedience, and through faith in him, we are saved. My brothers and sisters, do not forget this truth. Do not get mixed up and ever believe it's about me, it's about you, it's about Jesus. This new covenant, says the Lord, this new administration of the covenant that he had made with Abraham is not like the one at Sinai. Instead of the law being written on tablets of stone, the Lord says, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And R. Scott Clark, in his article on this, puts it this way. He says that there are four things that we can look forward to in this covenant. He says it is an immutable covenant, or in other words, it does not change. He says it brings with it an interior piety, or in other words, it's not about all the stuff we do, it's inward transformation. He says it brings an immediate knowledge where we know Christ by faith and through the Spirit working in us. And he says it brings an iniquity forgiven. I have that article, folks. I'm going to leave it over in the library, and you can take that and read that for yourself. It is well worth your time over Easter. But this is the new covenant, and this is who we are. We are this new covenant people, where the promises made in the covenant of grace to Father Abraham are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and received by faith. Friends, today the Lord, to you Christians, to we as men and women of faith, he has put the law within our hearts. He has written it on our hearts, on hearts of flesh and not hearts of stone. The Lord is the one who has drawn near, and he is the one who says, I will be your God and you shall be my people. We have this relationship with the Lord, broken by sin, but renewed by the work of Christ. And in verse 34, we read, no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, says the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. We know the Lord in a way that the men and women of Israel failed to grasp. The Pharisees believed that was about the letter of the law. They believed that was about these 613 commandments that would get them to this place where they would have this relationship with the Lord. It was the letter of the law rather than the God of the law. But today, under the new covenant, my brothers and sisters, we know the Lord in a personal way. When we hear the gospel, The Spirit works and he transforms us. He causes us to be born again, and we receive the gospel by the gift of God, which is faith. We know him in a way that many in the old covenant did not know, failed to grasp, failed to see, but not under Christ. We know him in a new way, in a personal way, says the Lord in Jeremiah. And more than that, says the Lord at the bottom of verse 34, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. And friends, we know that kind of language. We are men and women of faith. We are men and women that live in the light of fulfillment of Christ back at Calvary. We live in those days. This is not new language to us. But you can imagine if you were living in the days of Sinai, and you approach to worship, and you know that this little lamb or this bull or ram or whatever, this can't really take away your sin, but you're hanging on to it anyway, and you hope one day maybe someone will come who will finally pay the price for your sin. Friends, imagine living in those days. Days where, yes, you were trusting in the Lord, but the Savior had not yet come. Imagine. We talk about that still to this day. We talk about touch wood, cross our fingers, hope for the best. Let's hope there are better days to come. But my friends, that is not who we are now of faith. Today we no longer need to touch wood or cross fingers or hope for the best. We have received the best in Christ. And the new covenant, the new administration of the Abrahamic covenant has been fulfilled in Jesus. And today, if you are a man or woman or child of faith, then this covenant, which does not change, which cannot be broken, this covenant is for you and for your children, for those who are far off, to all who will believe the gospel. This covenant is for us, and it is a covenant where we know the Lord. He writes his law on our hearts. He enables us by the Holy Spirit to walk after him and to follow the ways of his word. He gives us that immediate knowledge of him. He moves in dead sinners and he brings them alive in Christ, and we know God. And he brings forgiveness to us. He takes away our sin as far as the east is from the west. He remembers our sin no more. And do you get that, folks? Often as Christians, we struggle with that one. He remembers our sin no more. He does not hold it against us. He is not sitting with a big book waiting for you to slip up again. He is not counting that thing that happened back in 1974 over your head, waiting for you again to fail to keep the Ten Commandments, and then he's going to get you. That is not how the Lord works. As men and women of faith, under the terms and conditions of the new covenant, written in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. My brothers and sisters, that is Easter. We are forgiven by the finished work of Christ. And I hope you have heard the gospel many times in this pulpit. And I know many times in this town you have heard that same gospel. But this week, let it sink deep within. And when Satan tempts you to despair, declare in your life, I stand forgiven. Not by works, but by the terms of this everlasting, precious covenant of grace fulfilled for me by Jesus Christ my Lord. Forgiveness, won for the church by the guarantor of this better covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, this stuff is not theoretical, theological nonsense for you to ignore because John and Scott are preaching it and their heads are turned. That's not it. This stuff is for you. This truth is for the strengthening of your faith. This is to be believed and rejoiced in and celebrated in your life that you are not at Sinai, but you're at Zion. And Father Abraham longed for the day that he would see Christ. And my brothers and sisters, we have seen Christ. We meet with him at the table. We are united together around that table, and we eat and drink with the king in a wonderful way. And Abraham longed for those days. Brothers and sisters, we see those days. We are in Christ and will be forevermore. This covenant does not change. This covenant is not at the whim of a God who is always floating around, doing different things, changing his mind. This everlasting covenant is true, it is real, and it is for you and for me, and for all who are far off. Brothers and sisters, this week rejoice in this covenant. Rejoice in the fact that the Lord Christ has done it for us. And under these terms and conditions of this bond in blood sovereignly administered, there is freedom for all who will believe. Friends, what use is this to us? Well, let me say two things. Firstly, of course, the temptation is always for us to go to Sinai. The temptation is always for us to return to the old covenant. It is always for us to try and justify ourselves. Always for us to believe that we are guilty and we're only a hair's breadth away from the Lord writing us out of the Lamb's book of life. But this truth today, this covenant, speaks one word to me and my brothers and sisters. That word is assurance. Assurance. And today I pray that as you leave this place, and I'll be watching you go, I want to see skipping and dancing out through that car park. Not if you've got arthritis. Don't be doing that. Doctor, whoever, will be raging. But skip and dance and leave this place with that load lifted from your shoulders, because I promise you, and indeed it isn't my promise, it is the promise of God's word, but through my imperfect mouth, I promise you, you are forgiven. Your sins have been paid for. And in the terms of the covenant of grace, you have this deep and abiding and lasting assurance that you will stand in the judgment, that you will stand again just as Christ does, that you will be with him forevermore, that you will by no means ever be cast out. Friends, there is no assurance of that at Sinai. And so Christians, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you today to see the terms of this great covenant, to realize who the mediator of it is. His name is Jesus. And understand that there is assurance for those who have believed. And life at times is not good. And at times things are turned upside down. And at times we do and say and act in awfully sinful ways. But my brothers and sisters, he knows your name. He knows your name, and he has received you by faith, and you will not slip through his fingers. Assurance today for all who will believe. And also, my friends, this new covenant, this new administration of the promises made to Abraham is a better covenant. We have the most excellent high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the order of Melchizedek, a priest forever. And understand the reality of that. In a couple of weeks' time, as we're working through the Apostles' Creed, we get to the point where we speak of where we believe Jesus is today. He is not in the grave. He is not still walking on earth doing miracles. He is at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for his bride, the church. Friends, imagine that. Imagine that. I try to do this thing in my life when if someone says to me, Scott, will you pray for me? I try to immediately pray for that person. If I can't immediately pray for that person, I try to write it down that I will pray for that person next time I'm looking through my notes. Because you see, when I don't do that, either immediately pray or write it down, I forget. Someone says, Scott, would you pray for my granny? Goes in my ear and out the other. If I don't pray immediately or write it down, granny's never getting prayed for. Or if I don't turn immediately to pray for your ingrown toenail, it's going to keep on growing. It's never getting prayed for. So I pray immediately or I write it down and pray later. Otherwise, I forget. But friends, today our new covenant mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, today our great high priest, Jesus, the guarantor of a better covenant with better promises. He intercedes for us. And he never forgets. Friends, today I pray that you will know the deep assurance of being a child of God under the terms and conditions of the covenant of grace. But today I also pray that you realize and know and understand and believe in a deeper way than you ever have that you do not stand alone. And I know that as people we will let each other down at times. And sometimes we will make promises that we forget or we do not keep. But the child of God is never alone. And the child of God has a great high priest over the house of God. He is called Jesus, and he never forgets, and he intercedes for us. So brothers and sisters, today, do not look back to Sinai. Do not look back to a priesthood that forgets and cannot get the job done. Do not look back to terms and conditions of animals being sacrificed where their blood cannot pay the price for your sin. Instead, we are a new covenant people. Instead, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. And as those promises were made to Father Abraham, so they have been fulfilled in a new way in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And all who believe in him are partakers of this covenant. Friends, rejoice in that today and sleep well tonight, not thinking of my face, but thinking of what I have told you. Assurance and intercession and hope. Friends, this is the new covenant, and it is with great delight today that I offer you to be part of that. I, this week, am heading away to America. Don't worry, your tax dollars that you put into those wee bags have not been paid for. It's very kindly a church is bringing me over, not to preach, but just to go and hopefully for me do a lot of shopping. That's the plan. But I go to America, and I don't like to be morbid, and I try not to think that way, but I have been thinking, Scotty, what if you don't come back? I'm 38. I've watched enough movies and TV shows to tell me that sometimes planes take off and then fall out of the sky. Maybe I should stop watching TV. Maybe that's the lesson. But it's a big trip. It's a big journey. And I'm thinking, well, do you know what? Who knows? Who knows? So Jenny and the girls know how much I love them. Your boy Rice up the town, he's got the will. John, you're getting all the books. Get in before Dave. John gets the books. Jenny gets the house. Kids get the money. Richard, you're getting this blazer. It's for you. But folks, God willing, I'll be back. But what if I'm not? What if I never preach to you again? What if my last day is spent plummeting into the Atlantic Ocean? Imagine that story. I hope not. I really do. But look, if I never return from the grand old USA, well, that's okay. Because I will not make my bed in a grave over there. I will not be resting in the foreign soil of Mississippi. I will go to glory. And I know that because I know who it is that I have believed. The guarantor of a better covenant called Jesus, my high priest, is over the house of God, and I know that whatever befalls me over these next weeks, it is absolutely in the hand of a sovereign God who loves me and is for me. But friends, as I wrap up, and I say this because I know most of you won't be back tonight for what could be my last ever sermon, let me say this to you in all seriousness and with every ounce that I can put into it. If this is the last time you hear me, then join me in the new covenant. If this is the last time you hear me, then receive forgiveness of sins. By faith in Christ, there's the terms. Not the Ten Commandments that all good Protestants think they keep, but by receiving Christ as your Savior, join me in that today. And friends, if that is the reality, and if you have received him by repentance and faith, then whatever happens, says Paul in Philippians, whatever happens, I go to be with Jesus. And friends, I long for that day. Hopefully it doesn't come in the next 2 weeks, but one day it will come. And Father Abraham longed to see Christ and saw him. One day with my own two wee eyes, I will see him as he is, alive forevermore, and the mediator of a better covenant. Friends, his terms today are these. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I can think of no better covenant than this one, and I commend it to you today. Amen.